if you do have cube confusion, we're going to try to wipe it out here right on this show tonight. I got to tell you guys, this is funny. The last show really had me worried because, you know, the previous show to that one had Michael Barnes on. I was worried. You know, Michael's such a controversial guy. I go, how am I going to follow that show? So I was worried D.W. Tripp might not be as controversial. And so I was out late that night, and I come in around midnight. So I pull up the thread on Board Game Geek where I'd advertise the podcast with D.W. Tripp, and, you know, just to see if there was any a lot of comments. And this is, get this, this is past midnight, and D.W. Tripp's on there firing away with these big arguments. It was great. It was great having D.W. on. And I want to thank him for showing up and helping me out when Thornquist bailed. And maybe Rick will reconsider after seeing all that comments. Maybe not. But tonight we have a very good guest for you. The one you've been waiting for, Aldi, CEO of Board Game Geek, the man himself, Aldi. Now, this is the thing about Aldi, is just up in Dallas, and I'm in Houston. He's, you know, 3 or 4 hours away. So I thought, rather than call him, I'm just gonna hop in the car, you know, pack some of my recording equipment, you know, and he used to do podcasts too. So we'll combine our equipment and just have one hell of a show. So I thought I'd take my little mini recorder here and then, you know, edit it later, but take my mini recorder and you guys can hear how it's done. I'll just take you along on the trip. So let's get in the car here and take off to see Aldi in Dallas. Take a little road trip here. Three or 4 hours later. Let's see here. Now, Aldi gave me direct... This looks like it might be it. We're in some secluded part of rural Dallas. I don't know where this is. There it is. Okay. This is amazing, folks. I don't believe this. It's this huge, almost mansion. He's got a neon geek. You know, the geek on a Board Game Geek? There it is, the neon guy. I wonder how much he paid for that. Man, it's nasty weather. He told me just to go to the door here and knock. And okay, let me... Man, what a nice place he's got here. It's kind of creepy, though. No answer. Well, look. Looks like the door's open here. I hate to go in. Nobody. I wonder if he's home. He knew I was coming. Well, let me open the door here. Aldi? Aldi, you there? Aldi, it's the Federal Express man with some free games. No, come on, Aldi. This is, you know, we're going to do our interview. Where are you? Man, I don't see anybody. You folks got to see this. Man, it's a long hallway, and there's a big, huge oil painting of, that's got to be Aldi. Man, he looks different than I thought he would. He's got this weird stare. Is it just me or are those eyes following me? Well, look, here's a door right here. Folks, you got to see this. You know what this door says? The moderation system. The moderation system that Aldi has on Board Game Geek, the control room, must be behind this door. Let me take a peek here. Carefully. Oh my God, look at it. And look, there it is. There's the off switch. I could be a hero for the Board Game Geek community by turning the whole thing off. Here it goes. Ah, shit. Oh, look, so hold. Oh, oh.
State your business.
I'm here to see Aldi. We're supposed to do an interview. I'm just playing around here.
No one sees the Supreme Leader. Pick up the courtesy phone.
Oh, man. You're telling me I can't see him, I have to talk to him on the phone? I could have stayed home. All right, let me pick up the phone. Let me talk to Aldi. Hey, Aldi, you there? How are things in Dallas?
Oh, doing good.
Doing good?
Yep.
Hey, listen, I was noticing on the Board Game Geek that you've been in business for the site's been up for 7 years, is that right?
Correct, yep.
Now, you started this thing as a hobby, and now it's turned into pretty much a full-time job for you. Are you finding you're still having fun with the site?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean,
you know how some people, you know, they have a hobby and it turns into a career and they say, oh, this is just a job now. But are you feeling any of that, or are you still having a lot of fun with it?
There's certain aspects of that that are kind of like that for me. You know, like maintaining hardware is something that I wasn't really planning on doing.
Right.
Hardware issues and, you know, stuff like that. But it's been great. I mean, I think I put more work into this job and effort than I've ever put in any job.
Is that right?
I was, you know, working for a company.
Right.
When you work for a company, you cut off kind of like when the day ends.
Right.
Now, when you go home, when you go home from the job, it kind of shuts off for a lot of people.
But for you, it's like a 24-hour thing.
On full time, yeah, all the time.
Yeah. So. But you're still having fun and still enjoying it then?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's, you know, it's pretty crazy.
Let's talk about podcasts. You used to do podcasts with Dirk. Tell us, why did you retire from doing that?
Well, the way it was is Dirk would come over to my house, like when Dirk was in Dallas, and we'd get, you know, someone on the line, board game person, whatever,
right,
designer, publisher, or gamer. We'd just sit around and, you know, drink wine, and it was more of like a chit-chat, you know, I mean, it wasn't really anything planned.
Exactly.
We planned one episode.
Is that right?
I think it was the Alan Moon episode, maybe the second one.
Right. Your most famous episode has to be the one with Kinesia, where he took over your show.
Oh, that one. Yeah. Well, we were in San Francisco, KublaCon, and we set up a, you know, you do like little game sessions there.
Right.
We were like guests of the convention, so we put up together the, you know, let's have interview Reiner, Kinesia, and also interviewed Guido Teuber.
Okay.
So we were all in one room, and we started off, and Reiner just grabbed the mic and kind of like turned a question right in on.
Right.
I mean, it kind of like really threw us off.
Right.
We look at each other like, "What's he doing?"
Now tell us the truth. Was Dirk actually intimidated by Reiner?
I don't know if he was intimidated, but probably a little bit. You know, yeah. Dirk's a teddy bear, so.
Right. Hey,
you know, he sounds rough, but, you know, deep down inside, he's just weak.
So you still keep in touch with him, right?
Yeah, and in fact, I just saw him this past weekend.
Oh, is that right? So he came to Dallas, or you went up there?
We went to a little convention in Chicago.
Oh, okay. How was that?
It was the Beatnik Turtles convention.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Really? It was almost like a birthday party thing for Randy of the Beatnik Turtles, and they get together and play
cool.
A lot of games and play Werewolf at Night and stuff like that.
Do you think you might ever start podcasting again, or you think you're pretty much done with it?
I would love to do it again.
Now, when you guys started doing podcasts, I was calling you guys pioneers. Was this, at that time when you first started, were there other podcasts out there?
Yeah, there was like a handful.
I mean, but you really started in on the ground floor of this.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm always, you know, I like early adoption. And I forget how I got turned on to it, and I really don't remember.
Right.
How I found Adam Curry. You remember Adam Curry from MTV?
Yes, yes.
He was one of the first ones as well. And I listened to his show, and I know what it was. I remember now. I would subscribe to his, blog. Right?
Right.
And so I would see these MP3 files come by each day. What the heck are the, what is he doing with those MP3 files in the blog? You know, I don't want to listen to that. I can't read it. You know, what am I going to do? Whatever. So eventually one day I just kind of clicked on it.
Uh-huh.
And he was talking about some technology that he developed, podcasting, you know, where it automatically pulls down the file and puts it in on your iPod for you.
Right.
Turn podcasting, right?
Right.
So I started listening to that, and I'm like, hey, no, there was, you know, maybe like five or six different podcasts that he was promoing on his show, because he's kind of like a pusher, right? He would just talk about podcasting in general and putting little snippets of other people's shows onto his show.
Right.
So I subscribed to all of them, and it was always just like one person talking, you know, like a monologue.
Yeah.
And so I talked to Dirk, and I go, man, you know, we could do this. Let's record something, you know, and just give it a whirl. That's where it came from.
Ah, that's very interesting there.
I had no idea podcasting would actually get that.
It kind of exploded, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of funny because you could keep up with every podcast out there. My car stereo got stolen. So I would load up my iPod every day and just listen to it have one earphone in my ear.
Right.
Driving with the iPod plugged in one ear, you know, so I could actually drive.
Exactly. Now, do you listen to the Dice Tower?
Yeah, I do.
What's your view on theirs?
I'm on and off about it. You know, I'll check in every once in a while.
Right.
Tom is a machine. I'm amazed how he gets everything done.
Right.
You know, it's kind of changed over the years. When he was with Joe, it had a little bit more chemistry, I think, than with Sam.
Now, I'm sure everybody is dying to get your view on this whole Ameritrash versus Euro debate. What do you think about that?
I'm actually quite entertained by it. Because, you know, when Dirk and I started the site out, we did it purely because we were starting to get, you know, like, I mean, we weren't, I think we had started gaming together in 98 or 99, which was, you know, a couple of years before the site actually came out. And we wanted to, you know, we were getting all these Euro games in, and it was just kind of the newest thing, right?
Right.
So it kind of started off as a Euro game deal. But through the internet and the power of Google and, you know, searching and things, other people come in and see, you know, they want to, and since it's set up such that anyone can add anything at any time, anyone
right.
in, you know, it's almost like a faction has come in and said, hey, this is American games that we need people to know about. You know, predated the,
they've come in or they've invaded.
It's an invasion. you know, because I kind of like it. Controversy is fun. No, I like it. There's been like a lot of controversy on the site over the years. At one point I wanted to keep track of all the little cadillos, you know, all the little things that have come up.
Right. Now, talking about controversy, do you find Michael Barnes' posts offensive, personally, yourself?
They're definitely edgy. And then sometimes I take them a little personally, and that's probably like the problem with it that I have. I'm not saying he's, you know, a bad post or anything, but I mean, I take everything about the site to heart, really.
Yeah.
And I know he's just expressing his point of view. It's hard to not take it personally. You know.
Did you listen to the interview I did with him?
Yeah, I did. That was good.
Where do you think Michael's missing the point? Where do you disagree with Michael?
Where do I disagree with Michael? I don't know if I do disagree with him.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I understand where he's coming from. You know, there was this age of games that has, you know, passed on in time. And I guess there's a few, you know, choice nuggets coming out here and there, and, you know, from like Fantasy Flight and things like that. But, I mean, I don't know if, I mean, his point is basically people should say, don't ignore these games. They're cool, you know, even if there's a lot of luck, even if there's a lot of chaos.
Right.
I mean, I'm an all-around gamer. I play everything, so.
Yeah, that was.
Don't understand the stance. I mean, I know people want to enjoy what they enjoy. And
right. That was kind of a misconception I had about you. I was looking at your profile today, and I you listen to your geek speech and you hear you in Essen and everything, and you really kind of put you in with the old guard, you know, as a Euro gamer. But I noticed that you've got a lot of agreement with Michael, like Cities and Nights, you rate a 10 on your
10.
Yeah, and a lot of other games along that line.
I mean, I'm a game lover. I mean, I don't draw the line. You know, I'm not going to not play something because certain. You know, if you have to roll the dice, you know, heck, I've played Titan. I don't like it. You know, but I'm not going to group all those games into being bad just because I don't like them.
Right. Let's talk about the rankings on board game. Puerto Rico's been number one for I don't know how long. What's the criteria for those rankings? How are they ranked?
What we do is we kind of do a average of all the rankings in the database, right? You take everybody's rating and it's an average rating.
Right.
But there's something we put on top of it called a Bayesian average. What it does is it kind of adds a certain number of dummy votes to every rating. So every game has, like, you know, let's say 50 average ratings. So it kind of smooths it out.
Okay.
You know, because if there's like you have to have 30 ratings to be ranked.
At least 30.
At least 30. So if there's a new game that's like only 30 people have really rated, and they've all gotten it a 10, you can't have that be the number one game.
Okay.
It's kind of a factor of how many people rated, as well as the, you know, the value of the rating.
Do you see Puerto Rico ever losing the number one spot?
That's got a huge lead. I don't know. I think probably something will come out. You know, Battlelore has been giving it a run.
I saw that, yeah.
I'm surprised how quickly that shot up. And, you know, I think someday it probably will. There will. I mean, you know, each year new games come out, they shoot up. And
What do you think, you know, one of my big issues that I've been talking about was these reviewers that get free games. What's your take on that?
Well, you know, if they can keep an unbiased, you know, opinion. Did I say that right? Unbiased, yeah.
Unbiased, yeah.
I mean, because I initially was really happy to get a couple free games for review.
Right.
And then I started writing the review, and I'm like, I don't know if I like this game. I don't know if I can write a bad review, you know?
Right.
And if they can do that, if they can keep that neutral point of view,
you know.
Yeah, I mean, do you do that with movie reviewers, too?
Right.
I was thinking about that the other day, actually, because I knew you would.
Well, yeah, I had brought that up in one of my
like,
posts.
We don't really care if movie reviewers get a free movie, do we?
Well,
like, you know, like, I
it's
don't,
not so much the free movie. It's what it is I had brought up Gene Siskel before.
Yeah.
And he made a big point. He was interviewed and he made a big point that all these producers and everything give him free bottles of wine, you know, just to kind of influence his review. And he would say, you know, he would accept nothing.
Oh, really?
That was his policy, you know. Huh. No, I mean, of course. I believe he would even pay for the movies. I mean, they would have premieres for these guys, too. I'm sure they got in free. But as far as, you know, free bottles of champagne or gift baskets, he drew the line right there. He said, no, I'm not going to take any of this because, you know, I want to give the people a free review. And that's kind of where I was going with these free game things.
Yeah, it's a tough thing. I mean, it's definitely boils down to the individual. You know,
right.
You can keep that neutral point of view as well. By receiving a free game.
Now you don't.
Or you know, another idea might be okay. Send the game back when you're done. You know, so you don't build up your huge library of, you know. I mean, these are valuable, right? Games aren't cheap. You know,
they're not right.
$50, and you can. I mean, you can definitely make a living off of it if you sold the game after the fact.
You sure? Yeah, definitely. Now you don't do a lot of reviews. I noticed you probably have three.
I
reviews.
Thought I was going to do it, and I did a couple back in the day. I think I did like Voldamp. I think was one of them.
The old, yeah, I saw that.
Voldamp,
one, yeah.
which was like a precursor to Age of Steam. I don't know why I did that. I just felt really strongly about the game, and I wanted to tell people about it.
Right.
Yeah, I mean that was kind of my break into reviews. But I did get one other game for free, and I've gotten a few for free from people saying, "Hey, we can." You write a review, and I said, I don't necessarily will, but you can send me the game. I use them. I mean, I use them.
Exactly. You'll take the game, right?
I'll give them away and or yeah. Use them for the game convention or something like that.
Right. Well, you know, now, a big complaint on the talking about the reviewers, is, especially the Euro guys, is that we never see anybody rank a major Euro release low. I mean, to me, they can't all be good. So I want you to tell me, let's talk about you. If I gave you a stick of dynamite, I told you I wanted you to blow up a well-known Euro game, one that has consistently not entertained you or not challenged you. What game would you blow up?
A well-known Euro game.
I mean, not some...
Not some unknown thing.
Yeah, or some, one that nobody knows and can't pronounce. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, Goa, in that, you know, a well-known
something
one.
Something like that, yeah. God, what would I blow
See,
up?
See, because I get on Schlosser, because you look on Greg Schlosser's low reviews, and he's got, you know, Don't Wake Daddy on there. You know, come on.
Oh, yeah.
You can't compare Don't Wake Daddy to, you know, these hobby games, I don't think.
I kind of want to blow Kalis up.
Right on! The day of the Euro is over.
Right on, right on.
Well, give me a game with some kind of theme. Make me dance, baby, make me scream. No more Euros on the brain.
No more Euros on the brain.
Yeah, no more Euros on my brain.
No more Euros on the brain.
Well, you gotta understand, I'm a Ameritrash loving man.
I did like your comment on Kalis. You said you liked it, but it wasn't the second coming.
Yeah, no, I do like it, and I played it again this past weekend just to kind of remember how it goes. And
how many times have you played it?
Maybe like six.
Six? Yeah.
Yeah, around maybe less. I can't remember.
Now, what do you?
I think it's just a long game.
And yeah.
Kind of. I don't know. Once you're losing, you really can't make a huge. A difference in the game.
What do you think? Is the Euro market declining in your point of view, or no?
You know, I'm kind of a little disappointed these days with the amount of reprints.
Right.
Because I think there's a lot of people out there with new game ideas, but you know, the publishers are kind of going back to the well and grabbing the game that they know is good.
Right.
So I wish, it's a double-edged sword. I mean, there's a lot of people who missed out on the low number of prints, but it also kind of makes it harder for the new guys to get a game out.
I noticed that you and Greg both rate El Grande 10. Tell the Ameritrashers here what we're missing on that, why you guys rate that a 10.
What are you missing? I just think the combinations of the actions was... It almost does feel a little bit like a war game to me.
Right.
Where you craft your action, do the best, you know, damage that you want to do in the game, you know.
Right.
And I may be suffering from a little bit of early Eurogameritis there.
Right on! Right on!
Yeah, yo, he has seen the light. Don't be lost when it's time to roll the dice, 'cause the day of the Euro is over.
Now, do you have a regular game group there in Dallas?
Yeah, semi-regular. It's pretty regular.
How often do y'all guys get together?
We'll probably do maybe 3 Saturdays out of the month.
Now, you used to be in the video game industry, right?
I did, yep.
Yeah, tell us why you prefer board games over video games.
I don't know if I prefer them over it, but it's a different kind of feeling for me. I mean, I kind of go back and forth. Like, I'll get burned out on board games, and then I'll go play a video game for a while, and then I'll come back.
What do you think of the Wii 2?
I do. I love it.
I got it, too. I loved it. I went to buy an Xbox 360, but the lady taught me into a Wii, so I just got it on a whim, and I'm glad I did.
Yeah. Although, when I was in the industry, I bought every game system. I pretty much have them all, except for PlayStation 3. I might pass on that.
I kind of get the feeling that the video game industry is kind of in a battle for graphics. Is that?
Yeah, that is basically what drives the industry forward. You know,
And that's why I thought the Wii 2 was...
People want to be wowed by the amount of graphics. And
right.
Even if the game sucks.
right.
I thought Halo was a very poor game.
Yeah.
Repetitive, you know, over and over the same kind of stuff. But it's people rate it real high, you know. So.
Right. Now, do you still go to Essen?
I haven't been in a couple of years, but yeah, I've been.
Tell me this, when you... who gets more attention? Are you like a god at Essen?
I'm nothing at Essen. I'm invisible.
Who gets more attention?
I don't know who I am at
you,
all.
You, Dirk, Thornquist, or Schlosser? Who gets more attention at Essen?
Who gets the most attention at Essen?
Yeah.
I would say Greg gets.
Greg does.
Schlosser gets more attention.
What do you think of Greg's International Gamers Awards?
I think it's a good award.
Yeah.
You know, I'm on the committee.
Oh, you actually vote?
Yeah, I do.
I did not know that.
It's weird. I don't. It's an interesting thing because. It's an award by committee, right? And there's very distinct different groups of people in the group.
Right.
You know, a lot of people who prefer lighter games that are more fun, and some people who prefer heavier games.
So
it's kind of a little bit of a battle in that.
So do you guys get into these heated debates on trying to decide what game should win?
I don't know if there's debate over one game or another. You know, there's not a whole lot of people saying, well, you should vote for this game or you should vote for that game.
Right.
Or just like, what's the point of the committee is kind of like where a lot of the debate has been. A bit of controversy when we picked something. It was something on the lightish side over a heavier game.
Ticket to Ride?
Is it the Ticket to Ride? It might have been the Ticket to Ride year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like, are we picking the best gamers game out there or are we just picking the best game?
Yeah, now, is that award for gamers? Was it meant for gamers or for the general public?
I think it's for both, you know. And I almost want to say it's probably a little more slanted towards the general public.
Okay.
Just because of the way the group is made up.
Yeah, I was talking to Robert Martin about that. He seemed to think it was more slanted toward gamers than...
It almost is right in the middle. It definitely is not dedicated toward gamers. I mean, I pick out games that I had fun with over the years, and I've put games on there that are like, I've put Ubongo on the list.
Yeah.
That's not really a gamer's game. You know?
That's true, yeah.
Of a fun party game.
Right.
I put party games on the list. So if it's supposed to be for a gamer's game, then I'm not nominating correctly. So it's definitely a little more of a slanted towards the general public.
Okay, let's go back to the little controversy here. You remember the list I did with Barnes and Schlosser?
I do.
Now, oh, I forget the name of the admin that emailed me, but he said what he told me was that they had never got more complaints on that. Is that true, or is he exaggerating?
I've gotten it was mostly the complaints will come to me, like I can't believe they're talking about Greg like that. You know, and I think the list started off in a humorous way.
Right.
And then the comment section was more where I found to be a little more nasty.
Were you offended yourself, or did you find it funny?
You know, the top part was funny, but there was some stuff in the comments that was just nasty.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like why we put the hammer down.
But, well, you know, Schlosser himself commented on that. You saw that, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's just an all-around nice guy, and he doesn't like conflict, right? And I can see where he's coming from on that, and he wasn't offended by it, but I mean, I kind of felt a little bit more, like I said, maybe I'm overly sensitive, I don't know, but I take a lot of things out there personally, even for other people, even if I'm not the target.
Now, how do you...
It's kind of like what I felt about that one.
Right. Now, what about the moderation system? How is that working out for you?
I think it's working out pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm happy with it. You know, I mean, there's a lot of things behind the scenes that we see... And we can obviously tweak it. It's been pretty good. I mean, I don't think there's been any false positives, or there might be like a little one or two kind of thumb thing in a weird direction that doesn't make sense. But that's just noise in my mind. When there's thousands of people on the site, something that's, you know, definitely like out of the bounds of what we want on the site.
Here's the big question everybody's dying about.
Okay.
Dying to know about you. Are you actually a Vulcan?
A Vulcan. I'm like the non-geekiest coder you'll ever meet.
now, do you consider yourself a Trekkie or not?
Trekkie, yeah, you know, I'm like a next gen. guy.
Oh, okay. So you prefer Next Gen over...
Yeah, Picard over Shatner.
Shatner, okay. Tell me, what's the difference between going to the Board Game Geek convention and going to a Star Trek convention?
I've never been to a Star Trek convention, but there's definitely no costumes. When we were booking the hotel with the sales guy, he's like, no cosplay over at the Board Game Geek Con.
Okay. Speaking of the Board Game Geek Con, what do you got planned for 07? Anything new?
Well, since we were kind of filling up the hotel last year, we've decided to move it, and we're kind of working on where it's going to be. Waiting to hear on a couple things for the hotel and before I can really...
Now, is that... When is the date on that? Do you have a date?
I don't have a date because I don't have the hotel yet.
But it's in November?
Most likely, yeah.
And that's going to pretty much stay in November?
Yeah, we kind of do it like that because it's post-Essen, and we can get all the games from Essen into the convention for everybody to play.
I did email Dirk to interview, but he didn't respond. Was Dirk actually pissed at some of my humor toward Dirk?
I don't know. I think he only listened to the first episode.
I'm sorry?
I think he only listened to the first episode.
Right, and that's where a lot of the Dirk humor was.
Dirk is fine with that kind of stuff.
Well, actually, when this episode airs, your interview, that you're going to be removed off the Arch Enemy list.
Really?
Yes, you are removed off. Alan Moon takes your place on the list.
Really? Why does Alan get on the list?
Well, Alan is on the list for this reason, Aldi.
Okay.
Alan makes the list because I was not aware of this. One of my listeners sent me an email that something, it's his issue. I never even thought about this. He's talking about the Gathering of Friends. I thought the Gathering of Friends was just a convention like you guys, Board Game Geek convention, but it turns out it's an invitation-only convention.
Yep.
And to me, with these guys saying you want to attract new gamers to the hobby, then you have this snobby invitation-only convention. That seems that goes against everything I'm about, at least for me in our group in gaming. So Alan makes the list as Arch Enemy number 3. And you come off, because I haven't seen really where you're censoring anything, and actually you were poking fun of me. I saw your list.
What did I say?
The Puerto Rico.
Oh, yeah. Well,
no, not the Puerto Rico. The geek list that lost. We put St. Petersburg on there?
Yeah.
And where I had to come back and apologize to you.
Right.
How did you do that graphic of that guy on the card? Did you do that?
No, I think someone scanned it in.
Okay. So have you been to the Gathering of Friends?
I have, yeah.
And you get invited every year, no doubt.
I do, yeah. Usually when you get invited, you're re-invited.
Yeah. So you're really...
Unless you're invited and you don't go or something.
Yeah, you're really part of that old guard. You, Dirk, Thornquist, Slosser, Vassal. I hate to include Vassal, but, you know...
You gotta have him on the show. Have you had him on the? You haven't.
Well, I'm not gonna call Korea just for Vassal. You know the worst show you guys ever had, without a doubt, was when you had Vassal on.
No.
I felt the pain. I actually felt your guy's pain. You were trying to drag answers out of him. He was just sitting there.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely do miss that show. I mean, I love doing it.
Yeah, you guys ought to do it. I think you
should probably do a get back together kind of show for.
You ought to at least do once a year. Does Dirk ever come out to Dallas?
He hasn't been back since he left, but I'll see him at the gathering.
Oh, he got an invitation too.
I think he's the one that got me in.
Oh, really?
Nexus Invasion a number of years back. It's kind of funny because when we first got invited, it was like me and Dirk and a number of other people here in Dallas. It was funny because we didn't know anybody and we just played games with each other.
Right.
This big group of Texans sitting in there playing games, and everybody's like, what are the Texans? We're just playing with ourselves. We could have just stayed at home. But, you know, we're all shy, so it's hard to meet people when you walk into a room of 300 and don't know anybody.
Are you originally from Texas?
I grew up in Florida, but I was born in Massachusetts.
On that list where you were making fun of me, it sounded like you were kind of accusing me of being a redneck.
Did I say that?
That I left the top game on my list was about potato farming.
Oh, yeah, the potato. I was just trying to find the silliest theme.
Uh-huh, right.
Silliest Euro theme.
No, you were thinking redneck. That's all right. You can admit it.
Well, you got that twang, right? You got that...
You know, I've been here in Houston for 8 years. I've never been up to Dallas. So
yeah, you'll have to come up sometime.
Yeah, I'm going to have to try to. But your convention fills up so quick.
We're going to raise the roof for this year. I mean, I think we're going to raise it up a bit. And
yeah.
I mean, I think if things go well, we can probably fit 500 or 600. So that.
What was it last year? You had 400?
Anybody who really wants to come can come. Yeah, now, we had 400 pretty quick last year.
Yeah, it was quick.
Yeah.
And I think I got on the waiting list, and you sent me a spot that opened up, but I had already had other plans, and I didn't expect to get in. But let's talk about what games you got on the horizon you're looking forward to. What are you playing right now?
What am I playing right now? You know, I've got this, like, I'm hooked on this Isfahan game.
What is it?
Isfahan. It's the camel game.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I don't know if you've seen the pictures on Board Game Geek.
Yes, I have. I saw that today, as a matter of fact.
It's, I don't know if I'm saying it right, but it's Y-S-P-A-P-H-A-N or something like that. And it's just a fun little dice game. You know, roll the dice and kind of choose actions and things like that.
Right.
I'm kind of looking forward to Tide of Iron. It wasn't initially because, you know, Memoir is pretty much scratching that itch.
Right. But that's what I'm thinking, too. I got every expansion on Memoir, and do I really need to get Tide of Iron?
I don't know. I mean, I looked at the videos, and I just, like, cool.
Is the system that much? It's a little deeper, isn't it?
It looks like it might be a little bit deeper. I haven't read the rules on it or anything yet, so I'm not sure. But you know what? Who am I kidding? I buy everything.
Is that right?
I do buy everything. and I kind of use the convention as the reason behind it.
How many games you got in your collection?
I think I'm like right around 1,000.
1,000?
I have to recount because I gave away about 300 games.
And I'm making fun of Schlosser. You got that top Schlosser, I think.
It might. He kind of turns his collection over every once in a while. He'll sell stuff. And I gave, you know, I might have to recount because I probably gave away 200 games, 200, 300 games at BGG Con this year.
Wow.
And you know, have to make room. We just like to throw a good party.
Exactly. That's what it's all about. That's what.
I mean, it's like, I know a lot of people were kind of worried about the openness of BGG Con and saying, oh, you know, I don't want to go play with people who I don't want to meet up with some wanker and force to be playing a game with them or something. You know, like people were kind of worried that, you know, when we open the doors, you know, anybody could come. But
right.
Damn, if I haven't not met a single wanker yet at the BGG Con, I mean, it's been great. Yeah, and who knows, if it gets too popular, then it might kind of bring in that element of people that you don't really want to hang out with that often.
We're already here.
Yeah, you guys are.
We're already here, Aldi.
Up to BGG Con. Yeah, I had no idea Robert Martin and Michael and Frank Branham were all in the same game group.
Yeah, I didn't either. I didn't know. I didn't realize that Robert actually played with Michael.
I think we were going to have Robert on the show in the second Halloween episode, but I think we shut down. I think we were done by then. I can't remember what the reason was. You know, he liked the horror game.
Right.
And we had Frank on the first year for Halloween, and I don't know what happened, but maybe it just kind of slipped through the cracks, but never did get around to having him on.
Have you ever been up to Ward Batty's event?
No, I've not been.
In Atlanta?
No, I don't, no. I was looking at my list of things to do this year. If I went to every game, invite, convention, whatever, I would never get anything done.
So, what's the top convention, not counting Board Game Geek? Obviously, you don't want to say your own.
The top convention, what, like an open convention? Or
yeah.
The closed?
Closed. By the way, we've amended our charter here at the league. No closed conventions.
No closed.
Only open conventions.
Right. what's the best one? I have never been to Gen Con or Origins, so I don't know about the big one.
You never been to Origins?
No, no. Of the bigger ones I've been to, it's KublaCon, I think, was my favorite.
KublaCon?
Yeah, and I'm going out there again. They get the whole hotel, so they've got the whole deal. And it's a mixture. It's like there's a lot of CCG going on, there's a lot of RPG, there's a lot of miniature. Tabletop. They call it tabletop.
Now, have you ever been into CCGs?
Yes.
Really? Are you still into them?
Magic the Gathering addict. You'd be surprised. I'm probably more Ameritrash than Eurogamer. I mean, go back through my history. I was thinking about it the other day.
Right on! Right on!
Some kind of theme.
started out with like Magic the Gathering back in the early 90s when I graduated college. Moved on to Warhammer. How Ameritrash is up. Oh, I guess, no, it's a UK trash. Warhammer. But, you know, it's a lot of zillion little rules and army books.
Right, right.
Rolling dice and moving stuff around and, like, destroying the opponent.
Right.
Kind of thing. So that was kind of my background, is more in the American style games. I wasn't really a big Avalon Hill gamer.
Okay.
I've kind of picked up a lot of the good stuff from the past. You know, recently I picked up, trying to pick up the gems, you know, like Hannibal and...
Right. I did order the reprint. Did you order the reprint?
No, you know what? I am so mad at the reprint. I've got three copies of Hannibal. I was gonna retire early on those. Oh, devalued my reprint or my Hannibal.
Yeah, you gotta. I tell you what, if you you gotta know when to sell, right? Are you a collector? Game collector?
I'm a collector of all sorts. Yeah, I mean, you know, Magic the Gathering. Yeah, it's a huge collecting game.
No, I mean, as far as do you have sealed copies of games you won't play? You just collect them?
Yeah, I got a few of those. Just because I don't think the game is good enough to play, it's probably better just to keep it in a sealed condition.
Right.
I don't know. I've got an Outpost sealed. You know, Outpost.
Outpost. That's what's the remake? What's the remake of Outpost?
Scepter von Zavendor.
Right.
The Scepter of Zavendor. I've got a few games like that are just in shrink wrap I had a big boss in shrink wrap, which I just recently opened at BGGCon.
Right.
To find out it was missing some pieces.
You know, that's the thing about collecting games. Somebody could seal it up with just a bunch of newspaper in there. You wouldn't know, right?
Yeah, you would. They can buy those shrink wraps, those heat shrink wraps.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, it sucks, because I know there's like a lot of people spending big money for Jotty. Do you know Jotty?
I'm not familiar with that.
Like a 3M game. They only made the copies were definitely under 50.
Is that a card game?
No, it's a board game, but it's like one of those bookshelf games.
Okay.
Where it comes out of the sleeve, you know, you pull it out.
Yeah, yeah.
3M made them.
Okay.
Made a series of games in the bookshelf line. Jotty was Sid Sexton. It was like only made by maybe 50 copies produced ever.
Right.
Goes for over like $800 or $900 on eBay. Probably the rarest game ever. Of modern time. I mean, there's obviously... I think I'm done finding old games that I want.
Yeah.
I kind of just been more interested in the new stuff, but the Hannibal one was hard to miss.
Yes, it was. Yeah. I got in on that. I'm looking forward to... I've never played it, so I'm looking forward to trying it. I do have We the People, but not Hannibal.
Right. What's that card-driven game, which, you know, a lot of people like?
I love those.
You played Twilight Struggle?
I have not.
That's another one of the card-driven, you know, the U.S. versus Soviet Union kind of Cold War.
Didn't Greg's award give that?
Yeah, in fact, the BGG award also won it. It won in two slots. It won in the war game slot, and it won in the two-player non-war game slot.
Ah.
Which is kind of funny, because it's kind of a war game.
Well, I saw Alan Moon's list where he talks about Twilight Struggle. He
it's
was
a great game.
Crazy.
It really is fun.
Yeah.
Definitely pick it up.
You know, all right. Well, I don't want to take your whole evening. We appreciate you talking with us, Aldi.
Yeah, no problem, man. Anytime.
And
feels good to be back in the airwaves, right?
Right.
Or the internet waves.
Hey, and talk to Dirk. See if you can convince him to come on too, because we want to talk to the old guard.
The old guard.
The old guard of Board Game Geek. Actually, you know, Thornquist. This is funny. Thornquist was going to be on my show. I emailed him. He agreed immediately.
Huh, yeah.
And then he started. He emailed me back. Apparently, he had not been following the postings of mine and Michael Barnes.
Oh, and so he caught up on
him.
Like,
he caught up on the postings, and then he backed out. He said his quote was he didn't want to be a punching bag for the opposing point of view.
Oh, you guys are too easy. No punching. Dirk and I were commenting. We're like, holy crap, he beat... I mean, the production quality on your stuff is phenomenal.
All right, thanks again, Aldi.
All right, man.
All right, have a good evening.
Met a girl in New York City. I met a girl in Alabama. I met a girl in California. Each and every one deserves a hand. But the prettiest girl of all
get back to your booth. Bubbles, we're trying to do a show here. It's a professional show. Especially now since we've had Aldi on the show, we have, it's given our show credibility. We have now a legitimate podcast. What gamer could deny now that this is not a legitimate podcast when we had Aldi on the show? I mean, come on. Yeah, Bubbles was saying she liked Aldi. She thought it was sweet that he took it. What was he said? He took the web everything on the website to heart. He takes it to heart. You know, come on, don't make me vomit. Take this to heart, all right? All right, cue that up. We're gonna do now a session report. One of my session reports where I play a game against my arch enemies. Cue the music up, Bubbles. Tonight we're going to be doing a session report with the card game Lawless. So hit it. It's time for Lawless. I ride into town on my Appaloosa, walk into the saloon, and sit down at the poker table. I order a glass of tequila. Greg Slosser, the Slossinator, rides into town on his Palomino. He enters the saloon, orders a glass of milk. Alan Moon rides into town on a donkey, sits down at the table, and orders nothing. I look to Greg. Where's Basil? He doesn't know. I look to Alan Moon. I say, where's Vassal? Finally, Vassal rides into town on a black sheep and walks in with a big smile on his face. I don't know what he's smiling about. The game hasn't started, but it's gonna start now. Now we're playing Lawless. Lawless is a game of cattle rustling cowboys and cutthroat tactics. The player with the best ranges, cowboys, and cattle and gold will win this Western game. Tonight, I'm up against some of the meanest cattle barons in Texas. Tom Vassal, Greg Slosser, the Slossinator, and Alan Moon. The Slossinator looks like he means business because he's wearing a cowboy hat, just like Hoss used to wear in Bonanza. Let's cut straight to the action, hombres. Now it's my turn. The game's been in progression for a few turns, and I have three excellent ranges. These are cards played in front of me, and each excellent range can support three herds of cattle. I have two prize-winning herds on one range, and two good-quality herds on another excellent range. What I'm trying to do is fatten these cows up and sell them for the most gold I can. Hopefully I can do this without tangling with these other greenhorn cattle barons. Now on my turn, the first thing I do is manage my livestock. I have to check to make sure that none of my cattle's run away. This is basically a die roll. It's modified by cowboys and other factors on your range. Luckily I pass the test, pass the die roll, and I move on. Now I don't sell any of my herds yet, so I know I have now 6 action points to spend on my turn. In the center of the table is a row of cards on a board labeled 1 to 6. These numbers represent the number of action points you have to spend to take that specific card. Now I look at the line of cards and I see a working girl's card on the number 1 slot. Now I need these working girls to attract more cowboys to my range. But right before I do this, the Slossinator smiles. He rearranges the line and puts the working girl's card in the number 6 slot. Now, he can do this because he has the mayor card played in front of him. And believe me, Greg is right at home with the mayor card because, after all, he is a game politician. The mayor card can rearrange the line. That's the kind of power it has. But I quick offer Greg a bribe. I say, Greg, if you leave those lovely working girls in slot number 1, I'll gladly pay you 5 gold. Greg smiles and says, no. I say, come on, Greg. You do session reports all the time on Board Game Geek to collect geek gold, and I'm offering you the real deal here, real gold, and you say no. Okay, how about 7 gold? The Slossinator turns me down flat. Now, I want those working girls bad on my range. So I pull out a sealed copy of Australia, a brand new Kramer and Kiesling game. Greg begins to salivate, and he has that deer in the headlights look on his face. Greg then moves the working girl's card back to slot number one, and I spend 1 action point to put it in my hand. I look over at Tom Vassell's range. He has 1 scrub range with a poor quality herd on it. What a sorry bunch of cattle he has, but I guess I could use the meat to make some beef jerky. So I play a cattle raid card. We're going to raid Tom's range. Yes, I'm raiding Tom's range, and I steal his herd, adding it to one of my ranges that can support it. Now, playing that card cost me 5 action points. So my turn is over. I replenish the line of cards by drawing the next card and put it in the 1 slot. Now, normally, if you take any of these cards, you replenish them, but they slide. They get more expensive. Since it came out of the number 1 slot, I put it back in the number 1 slot. We go to Tom. Tom has no herds on his scrub range, so he uses 3 action points to draw a new card and another 3 action points to draw another card. That's 6 action points total. Tom's done. Now it's Greg's turn. Greg's 1 herd doesn't run away, and Greg plays a hired gun in an attempt to destroy one of my cowboys guarding my range. This costs Greg 3 action points. Grab your hog leg, son. It's the Slossinator coming after us. Now, this shootout is basically a die roll with modifiers based on the cards. Greg's hired gun is no match for my cowboy, and I collect 3 gold, which was the reward on the hired gun's card. We go to Alan Moon. Alan has a very arrogant look on his face. After making a successful livestock check on his prize-winning herd, Alan plays a wire fence from his hand. It's a wire fence card. This costs Alan 4 action points. Alan seems to be putting a fence around his ranch, making his ranch rather exclusive. Huh. This card gives added protection against his cattle from running away, but in Alan's case, he seems to think it will keep the undesirables out, which it won't. What's he doing now? He's putting up a wooden sign on his ranch. It says GOC. GOC? Ah. Gathering of Cows. Alan then plays a railroad card on the Slossinator's range. They're going to build a railroad there, and Greg's going to lose his range and his herd that's on that range. Alan smiles as he plays the railroad card and then quickly plays a Ticket to Ride promo card next to it. Greg shakes his head. He hands the card back, saying he's played Ticket to Ride, but thanks anyway. Now, that railroad card that Alan played cost him 3 action points to play. That puts Alan over his 6-turn limit, but he quickly pays two gold to the bank. He gets an extra action point. Now, the game's going to end on my turn. There's only 1 card left in the draw pile. After surviving my livestock roll, I spend 3 action points to take the last card. So the game will end after my turn. I see how the Slossinator and Tom beat on points, and I'm tied with Alan Moon. Now, if I take out that 1 range of his with that prize-winning herd, I would win on points. I look at the last card I drew. It's an Indian raid card. It costs 3 action points to play it, so I play that card and release an Indian raid on Alan's ranch. The Indians, reclaiming their ancient hunting grounds, shut down Alan's range. Alan's running for the hills. Look at him go. They're on his tail.
No.
Oh, he just shot him right in the ass. There's that arrow. I guess Alan won't be sitting down to play too many games of the Gathering of Friends. I win the game. I got the highest number of prestige points. Ah, what a great game. What a great game. Check out Lawless. I love any game with a Western theme, so if you don't like it, you know, don't blame me. Speaking of games, I got in Dreamblade. I've got ordered two starter kits of Dreamblade, the collectible miniatures game. Actually, Michael Barnes calls it more of a board game. If you heard him talking about Dreamblade in one of my podcasts with him, I promised Michael I'm going to try that out, and I'm going to, because he rates it a 10, and I'm going to actually see if it's a 10 for me. We're going to be playing that soon. Also, I also found another game Michael was talking about, Thunder Road, an old game. I've never seen this game. It's like a Mad Max old Milton Bradley game that I'm going to try out. We're really going to put Michael to the test on these and see how they hold up. We got a couple of game groups scheduled, game nights scheduled next week. So we're going to try those out a few times, and I'm going to give you my thoughts on those. I'm going to try out on Aldi's recommendation too, Twilight Struggle, because I like any war game, any of those card-driven war games. So we're going to check those out. I want to thank you guys for tuning in. Let me update you on some of our guests coming up on future shows. Going to be talking with Chris Farrell, the guy that I think he's the, I call him the War Game King on Board Game Geek. There's other guys on there that war games, but I like his war game reviews. We're going to talk to Chris Farrell. And I got an email from Dirk today. Dirk is coming on the show, and you're going to like what he said. He said he's got a few choice words for my listeners. So I know you guys want to hear Dirk coming up soon. And again, thanks for tuning in. You got Steve Weeks here, the Mad Gamer from the League of Untouchable American Gamers.